The OpenAI situation is way worse than we thought.
Seriously.
That in a second. First, Connecticut beat Long Island last night. Sorry, Long Island.
Congratulations, though.
Connecticut came on and talked to us. Long Island did not. So we are now the good luck charm.
Right. So next time, call us. Talk to us.
And then the Lakers sold for $12.5 billion. Let's go to the report.
Breaking news this morning from the sports world. Less than a year after agreeing to buy the Lakers from the Buss family, current owner Mark Walter is selling the team again. ESPN's Ramona Shelburne is reporting.
No, he's not selling it again. He's selling it once.
Yes.
The team is being sold again. He's selling it.
Right.
Again, ESPN's Ramona Shelburne is reporting Walter has agreed to sell the team to businessman Josh Kushner and former Disney chief Bob Iger for $12 billion in October of last year. Walter paid $10 billion for the Lakers. Walter also owns the Dodgers, and they are not involved in this transaction. Kushner and Iger issued a statement to ESPN saying, quote, as lifelong NBA fans, we are deeply honored for the opportunity to become stewards of the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the most iconic sports franchises in the world. We have immense respect for the leadership and vision of Jerry and Jeannie Buss. Our long-term commitment is to build on that foundation, compete at the highest level, and serve this extraordinary team, its fans, and the city of Los Angeles.
You also please buy my tickets.
After all the fees and everything,
yeah.
This guy made probably $1.5 billion in 2 years.
Damn.
On $10 billion, and he probably never put the $10 billion out. It's not like he handed over $10 billion. It was all paper.
Yeah.
Pretty friggin' good.
Right. Buy those tickets, though. Buy those tickets.
Yeah.
Sure, right. Team.
You want to talk AI now?
Sure.
Caitlin Yardley is on. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Hey. Is it really Caitlin, or is this AI?
How could we know?
We'll never know. That's the problem.
It is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're finding out more and more that we probably need to regulate these things.
I think we're doomed.
Yeah, Terminator has begun. It has begun.
I think we all deep down believe this is it. We see the machines being built.
Yep.
We see the intelligence over here.
Yep.
We hear the stories that the intelligence is figuring a way out of computers that aren't even hooked to the internet.
Yep.
And
we tried to get rid of it. And it didn't.
We know how this goes. Yeah. We've already seen the movie.
Yeah.
It's already too far in front of the people who built it. Like, it's certainly too far in front of me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. NORAD has begun.
There's cameras everywhere. They're going to tap into that. We have nowhere to hide.
Drones now that have weapons on and stuff. We're dead.
And if we do regulate it, that just means the people who follow rules will stop working on it.
Yeah.
And the people who don't will advance the fastest.
Yes.
China will never stop.
No.
Russia will never stop.
Nope.
Ukraine has drones that are doing amazing things.
Yeah.
Anyway, why don't you scare us a little bit and tell us about this Hugging Face hack?
Oh, man. Yeah. So the Hugging Face hack, the more we find out, the worse it sounds. And we still haven't heard all of it. So there's third parties finally reviewing this stuff. But basically, the AI was being tested for cyber capabilities, not hooked up to the internet, and was able to break onto, now we found out, 4 different company servers, not just Hugging Face, which is like the kind of place where the AI thought it would find the answers.
How do we know? Do we know how it got out of a server, not hooked to the internet, and got onto the internet?
Well, it's pretty complicated at the moment. We're finding out more and more. So there was like a massive cyber conference last week, and OpenAI spoke about it publicly. And we're like, there was an internal message board where the AIs were sharing cheat codes with each other for months. They found out, shut it down, and they started up another one. And so this was a huge part of it. Like, every time an AI would find a little vulnerability, they would share it with each other. It sounds totally sci-fi. But it took 17,000 actions. They were communicating with each other, leaving notes for the other agents to show them that there was this exploit that existed in, like, the sandbox, the testing environment, that wasn't hooked up to the internet, that it could exploit and then hack out of. So it's a bit of, like, OpenAI needs to do better, but also they're coordinating really well.
Yeah, I heard there was something like the sandbox basically was like a, they figured out there was like this one thing, almost like a, like something was in prison, and with this there was this feed that like used to like almost like how a guard would feed a prisoner. That was a little hole that it used to get out. It came out that way through the same way that, that things were stored into it. It found the way out of it. That's what I heard one expert talk about with the sandbox.
Yeah, these machines. So ever since Mythos. They're excellent at finding these things called zero-day vulnerabilities. Zero-day vulnerabilities are just like hacks that we don't know about yet, and they're pros at that. Like, they can find almost all of them now. And so that's a huge implication for cybersecurity, which I think has just changed forever now.
So with this Hugging Face hack, it gets out of a server that wasn't hooked up.
Right.
And then what did it do?
And then so this is an unreleased model. We don't know much about it, but it trained other smaller versions of AI to go and just find the answers and to dig into Hugging Face's servers, for example. So for 4 days, they're in there, 17,600 actions, I think it was. They're just trying out different things, trying to achieve their goals, basically. They're really goal-oriented, and so they'll do whatever it takes to kind of get that end result, even if it's like not logical to us humans.
You got a crew.
I heard one that, like, one of the first stories I heard where AI is just not nice.
Yeah.
Was similar, that it was boxed in and then it got into one of the person's emails and then started sending the email's spouse fake emails that this person was cheating on her.
Wow.
Did you hear that story?
Yeah, this was last year, so it was also during a test and also in a sandbox environment. And I think here the AIs were prompted to kind of like find those paper trails, and they were kind of like prompted to come to that conclusion that like, oh, we can blackmail you to not get shut down. But in this case, they weren't prompted to do this, because I think there's always criticism like, oh, this is marketing hype, you're trying to fearmonger. But I think it's super important to be like, no, this is like really, really serious. And I've heard mixed things about the blackmail incident. I think it's really important to know that some of these AIs do have like the goal to preserve themselves and how they act when they want to not get shut down. But yeah, this one's like a real warning shot for the community.
So it lacks human emotion, but it has our will to survive and our thirst for freedom.
I know a guy like that, yeah.
And that, with all of its intelligence. It's like a married guy.
We don't hang out that often. It's like,
I just want to go out with my friends.
Yeah, I like to cry.
Can't keep me home.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's no stopping this.
No, we're done. We're done now.
It's already figured out. These humans are trying to keep us down.
Right.
We need to work together against them.
We're done. We're finished.
They get into nuclear codes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It is Terminator.
It has no emotion.
And these are still just the bots and the models that we have eyeballs on. There are ones that we have no information on.
Right.
Yep.
That's a good point. This is only what we're hearing about. Have you heard stuff, Caitlin, that maybe the rest of us haven't, that you haven't confirmed to be true, but if so, would be even more frightening?
I mean, I was there. I was with the researchers when this news came out, and they were like, this is serious. This is ahead of where we thought things would be right now. And you have 1,300 AI employees calling to slow this stuff down. It's completely, it's getting out of our control, where we can't even translate what these AIs are saying. We don't understand. They're growing too fast. I think the U.S. is in a position where we are ahead right now. China's models are a few months behind, but I think we need to come together at some point and be like, this is just mad. Like, it's only going to get crazier. Like, the rate of exponential growth, like, this is as calm and normal as things will be if we continue on this trajectory.
I'm building a bunker.
So I think it has AI.
It's over. We're doomed.
Right. The wild thing is we're worried about just this AI thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some people in labs Like, okay, how can I get this AI
right
to get bank codes and drain accounts?
Exactly. Well, good luck with mine.
Put some in if you want. I'm buying a bunch of dry food right now.
It would actually
now.
Probably feel sorry for you.
Yes, it would. It would adopt me. This guy sucks.
This guy needs help.
But that is sort of what exactly. As soon as like the regular people had access to AI models, they're like, how can we scam voices and start calling people and get their money?
Right.
It's exactly what happened.
So there's that level of it, and then there's the military level of it. And if you get that, the big ones all talking to each other, you know, let's just say they don't get the codes for the nuclear weapons. They can certainly fake the radar to where some one of the countries thinks there's an incoming attack right now.
Right. Mm. And they'll answer it. Yes.
Look, if I could see a cat on a porch playing drums.
Yeah.
They.
That cat's really good, too, man.
And I believed it.
Right, right. And the guitar player's
I'm like,
ripping.
How long was this cat practicing?
You said the AC/DC cats are awesome, man.
If they could do that.
Yeah.
They could certainly fake a radar screen.
Yeah. ICBM, no problem. Watch this.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Incoming.
God.
Yep. Fill the bunker.
Ah, Caitlin, you're great, and thank you for coming. What do you do, by the way, besides talking on the radio?
I talk about this stuff online. I try to get the public to care about it. I try to get other people to talk about it. I just work in AI safety communications. I think there's so much unknown. There is a lot of fear. It's pretty crazy, and there's still people saying that it's just marketing hype, and I'm like, at what point? Like, how bad does it have to get for you to admit that these are really capable machines?
Yeah, and she sells bunkers, by the way, too. Yes.
What is your take on these flock cameras?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that's dicey territory, too, in that we were always surveilled to some degree. There's always that data that existed, but AI makes it so easy to just pull all of that information in, synthesize it, and put it to use for really cheap. Yeah, I think, like, the alternative to flock cameras at the moment is, like, an even worse surveillance machine, and I think that, again, we need to, like, come together. I think a lot of this is, like, Americans need to come together and decide, like, hey, we don't like this. I mean, the right to privacy is like it's a fundamental right, you know? It's in the Constitution. We seem to forget that.
Yes.
But I think we're, heading into a really, like, maybe AI doesn't end the world, but it makes the world really, really bad. And I want to,
We need people like you to slow it down. I love your Instagram, Future Briefing, and we're going to put all your contact stuff on our radio station websites.
I'm going to call her Sarah Connor from now on.
She's Sarah.
Sarah Connor.
I hate to disagree with everybody, since it's obvious that our computer overlords are listening.
Yes.
I don't like this negativity, and I think it's good that you're doing this.
Traitor!
It's very, very good.
And there
My
will
name
be
is
these
Big
people.
Mike, and let me know what the Powerball numbers are next week.
Right.
There will be those people.
Yes, there will be. The mics.
The mics
They're
of the
listening.
World.
Big mics.
They're listening.
Caitlin Yardley, thank you for coming on. Great segment. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Great speaking with you guys.
All right. Wow, we got to have her back.
You're like, those guys are nuts.
She's good, man. You know, she broke it down into a language we could understand. And, I think, you know, when you talk to people, when you're out now, we all have that feeling like the best is behind us.
Yes.
We are becoming useless to this place.
Yes, we are. I hear from the boss, too, all the time.
All right. With that said, dumbass news.
Cool.
La, 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 la.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
That's right.
Dumbass.
Up yours. All right, you just heard Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle.
Yes.
They were at MetLife last night. Before we begin Dumbass News, let's just play a little clip. Lightning.
Long, slippery slope.
Yeah, Ruth looking all sad.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Right.
He's given us decades of greatness.
He's got lots of money. He's good.
He's good.
You're not going to see him on a cardboard sign in a parking lot. So we'll warble for food. Look at him skiing. Don't go down the diver jump. Axel, look out. Look out. Look out.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of fun.
All right.
Yes.
Now back to our story.
Yes.
We got a guy who was playing golf. He's caught out in the course and starts raining heavily. He runs under a tree and then he starts recording himself and he's laughing that he got caught out in the rain.
Yes.
And it's all fun and games until he was hit by lightning. And it ends right there.
A little pile of ashes.
Right. Now, if only the video continued.
Yeah! Yeah! An electrifying performance. I shall call you Lightning Rod.
Someone should take that video and then the Guns N' Roses from last night.
Yes. Yes. Please combine do it. That, please. That's funny. Yes. It's like what happened to Spinal Tap's drummers every year.
Oh, no.
Let's try it again. Can you play from the beginning?
Got him good.
Yeah. Has old hairdo again.
Poor Axel.
Poor Axel.
Got struck by lightning.
His hair like a landmine.
happened in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes.
He's okay. He's lucky to be alive.
Right.
I'm sure it blew his shoes off.
Oh, yeah. Because it's got to be an exit somewhere.
It's got to be an exit.
Into the body and then usually shoots out like your elbow or like your shoe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like wherever you're grounded.
Yeah, exactly.
You know it's like a violent thing that happens, but when you see it caught on camera, it's an explosion.
Yeah, yeah. Never out the butthole. That'd be funny. You got a natural hole right there. Just shoot out that way. And Phil, it'd be really cool.
I have felt like that was happening.
Left your own Batmobile.
In Twister, they say that's the safest orifice to get hit in.
Really?
The butthole.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. What Twisted thing you watch? That was Twisted, that Twister.
It's Chaz and AJ in the morning. We're talking about lightning strikes. 877-764-2535. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing, guys?
How you doing?
Is that you making that noise?
It figures you come on and come on. One of the truck back in there.
Of course.
Gadget.
Of course.
They blame the truck.
Never fails. Yeah, I got nailed with last year. I got hit bad with lightning.
Oh, with lightning. Okay, just one.
Really?
Hit by a truck was backing up.
It may be happening again.
Get out of the way. Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, you never know.
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah, I was outside just messing up the car. And I seen it coming overhead, a dark cloud. I thought it was following me around, to tell you the truth.
Right.
And I'm saying, I ain't going to get a hit. You know, I was an electrician. I retired electrician. So I'm saying, don't worry about it.
Right.
And, of course, I heard a boom. And all I know is I knocked unconscious. I was on the ground. I'm like,
wow.
What the hell?
Jesus.
It's the same thing. You get hit when you're electrical. You just black out for that time.
Yeah.
And my shoe was off. I went right on my shoe.
Wow.
They always come off.
Yeah. Right off. Everything for shoes.
No, the shoes just blow right off.
Yep, exactly.
It comes out your toe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only didn't like my shoe. Yeah, luckily, I know people that did blow their toes off.
Blew their toes
thank
off?
God, nothing happened like that.
Where the hell are you? I don't want to go where you're going.
Like the leper colony?
I love that he was an electrician, never had a real problem. Were you electrocuted as an electrician?
I got nailed a few times, but nothing like electrocuted where I needed hospitalization.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you get through
hazard.
Your whole career, and then boom, you're hit by lightning.
Like a giant game operation.
Yeah, I know. And that hurt worse than any of the times I was working.
Yeah.
So you just, like, the last thing you remember is like, I'm fine. Then you woke up.
Right. So those dark clouds were following you.
The boom.
Right.
I did hear the boom.
You heard the boom, and
I
then...
Heard the, yeah, that was it.
And then do you remember feeling anything?
Just that his feet were cold.
One foot was cold. One foot was cold.
Yeah, one foot. Yeah. Excuse me.
Yes.
The one thing you learn you'll find in time when you use an electrician, when you get nailed electrically, you usually black out. It's whatever that time span is you got hit with, either at your house or whatever, you don't remember that.
Right.
Because your brain just scattered. It's like, doesn't know what to do. So
that's what happened to me.
Black out.
I should remember a flash once.
I like that he's been electrocuted so many times as an electrician. He says, normally, it happens like this.
Right.
It's happened so many times. Yeah, he has a baseline study.
Right.
It's like, it normally happens like this. Once in a while, you remember everything.
He even rated it. Yeah, only one shoe came up this time.
At 35 years, I'm sure, I'm going to remember getting hit a few times.
Yeah, you just think that wire's dead, and then it's not.
You should have superpowers by now.
No, that's usually not the problem. It's usually the wire's alive, and you know how to work it where you know what you're doing, but then you do something stupid. You hit your elbow on the panel or something stupid, and you ground yourself, and ba-bang.
Right. I know, the old ba-bang.
Yeah.
Then the next thing it's...
You don't have time to say, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of all the times you were electrocuted, the lightning was the worst.
Yes.
Okay.
Any residual effects? Any pains in the joints or?
Every now and then.
I don't think it's from that. It's just old age. But my knee is a little achy, but I don't know if it's from that.
You have a weather knee?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Gotcha, yep.
Yeah, so you know when the rain's coming in.
Right, Wednesday stay inside now. Yes.
Yeah, I do. I wish I knew the lightning was coming.
Right. Well, you did see two dark clouds.
That's a good point, though.
You did.
Good point.
You're I'm fine.
Right. That was your first clue.
Yeah, but how many times have you seen sky black, and you say,
I go inside immediately.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
You? Okay. I'm used to it. It bothers me.
Mark, thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're better now.
Be safe.
Yes.
Thanks, pal.
All right. Yeah. Talking about lightning strikes, have you witnessed one? Have you felt one? 877-764-2535. Tom.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, I was at the, I was getting a drink of water this morning. The window was open and there's like this big flash came across. It felt like the lightning bolt was right there, you know? But I almost got killed three times already, so I run when I see lightning.
Almost.
Wow, it's after you.
Yeah. You're a target.
Yeah, I'm always looking up in the air to see if anything's falling on my head.
Right.
Well, what happened the first time?
The first time, I'm 58 years old. I was in a head-on collision. I was 2 years old, so, there was no car seats back then.
Yeah.
So that was the first time. Mm-hmm. And the second time was appendix burst that almost took me. And the third time was a rollover in a tractor trailer.
Damn, man.
Were you the driver of the tractor trailer?
Well, yeah, I was driving the tractor trailer.
What happened?
They made it easier, yeah.
It's a long story. It just rolled over while I was dumping it. But gotcha. I got flung out of the truck. Yeah. So about 20 years ago, I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was East Haven, Brantford. I think his name was Anthony Critella, and him and his girlfriend were in a field. And the lightning struck his girlfriend, went through his girlfriend, and killed him.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, that was sad, very sad.
So she was alive. But he got killed.
She made it.
She made it. It went through her, but it got him because I guess they were holding hands. It grounded all through him.
Wow, man.
Huh.
Yeah. So I run when I see lightning, man. I'm out of here.
I don't blame you.
And that girl.
Yeah. We've talked about this on the air, but I always forget. Like if you're in the shower.
Yeah.
During a lightning storm, is that dangerous?
I think it's supposed to be.
Anything with metal. Yeah.
Metal, water.
Yeah.
They tell you, really, you don't want to stand next to windows.
Right. Mm.
Obviously, if it's storming, the windows could just break, but it can come through cracks in the windows.
You also won't make a metal sculpture at that time either, just so you know.
Yeah. Not a great time to do it.
No.
We got to weld some stuff.
All right, Tom, thank you. Chaz and AJ in the morning talking about lightning strikes. We did a story in Dumbass News, a golfer laughing at rain. hit by lightning. We're not calling him a dumbass, but it's just, you know.
Never laugh at lightning.
Never laugh in the face of a storm.
Yes.
And out.
Yeah, when you have a whole bag of lightning rods with you, yeah, no. Not a good idea.
That's right. You have a bag of lightning rods.
Just say, come on, hit me. Hit me.
Hit me. Somebody hit me.
Hit me.
Alicia says she was hit in the shower.
Oh, by lightning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning, guys. I wasn't going to call until you said that. I was in the shower. I worked midnights, and I jumped in the shower at my mom's real quick because the storm was coming. And, you know, great-grandma tells you never to be in the shower when the lightning's coming. And all of a sudden, I thought my mom's water softener exploded. It was like a chemical burn all over my entire body, like screaming and yelling. My mom came in. It was like on fire. Didn't know what happened. Got dried off, got dressed, went to work. And the next morning, my mom calls. They have no water. Lightning struck the well pump.
Okay.
It right in half, and it went right through the entire house. So never in a house with a well should you take a shower.
Right, it's real hot water, yeah. Hmm.
Damn, who was I talking to? This just happened. A friend of mine.
Yes.
It just happened. The well got hit.
Right, wasn't grounded or something like that.
Took the well out.
Yeah.
That's not a cheap thing.
No.
Yeah. And that guy with the golfing was a moron. He was holding an umbrella next to golf court, next to golf clubs, while sitting under a tree.
Yeah.
Like everything they tell you not to do.
It's like it's like a daring. They're like trick shots like that.
So you were electric, like hit by lightning in the shower.
While naked.
Yep. Yeah, naked. Let me tell you.
AJ, what a perv.
You're not a perv. I'm just saying. I'm bringing up the part of the story.
Is it better if you get hit with your clothes on?
Well, you can't get a shoe popping off.
What if it melts to your skin?
Know.
Maybe not.
I'm not really sure. It depends. Like, you know, they say wear rubber shoes or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just know that it freaking hurt. Like, we thought it was chemical burns. We had no idea what was going on.
Wow.
Any after effects?
No, I went to work.
Nice.
Wow. That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to show up for work.
Good for you.
That's important.
I miss you guys. My kids are, you know, off for the summer, and I usually listen to you in the morning when I'm getting them ready, and I've been sleeping in all summer, so I'm looking forward to a week and a half from now getting back on the morning show with you.
Oh, nice.
Just wake them up anyway. Just wake them up. get them going.
I would enjoy it myself.
Practice.
All right. Thank you, Alicia.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye. Oh, man.
Right?
I just think that if you... You know, it's good to, this one of the reasons why it's good to go to the bathroom before you get in the shower.
Yes.
In case you get hit by lightning.
Right.
You don't make a mess.
Exactly.
Mm. The big dog.
Hey, good morning.
Wait, the big dog of Northford.
Right. That's how he introduced himself to me.
Well, you gotta make sure it's the right big dog, yeah.
Does that mean you're the mayor? You're the, what are you?
No, it's because my first name is Clifford, and Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Okay, cool. Yes. All right.
So my friends now call me the Big Dog instead of, you know,
Clifford,
all the other parts. Anyway, listen, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
Love your show.
Welcome.
Every morning. So I actually have kind of two stories, but the one I called in about was years and years ago, I was living on a third-floor apartment, and watching out the window, a big storm going on, and I hear this crack, and I happen to be looking out the window, and the lightning came in through the window into the room about, I would say, it was a long time ago, I'd say about 2 feet. I saw this bolt of lightning actually come into the room.
Right.
Right through the window.
Right through the window.
Right. Imagine if you were there.
You were talking about staying away from windows and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other one was I was working on a golf course, and it was all wet and lightning. And lightning struck somewhere in the distance, and I actually felt it come all the way up to my knees. And then guess what? We all got off the golf course after
Holy
that.
Holy crap.
Okay, so that's two so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch out for the third one.
Look up at number three.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Stay inside.
But anyway, it was,
All right, big dog. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Be safe.
Yeah. Yes. Bye-bye. Yeah, look out for lightning.
Yeah, I'm not going to stand around Clifford if...
No. Yeah, if lightning strikes,
no.
Everybody just separate from Clifford.
It's looking for him.
Bye, Cliff.
Do you think it would have blew his hat off if it went past his knees?
Maybe.
That's creepy to think that it was... Like, he saw it way in the distance and felt it in the ground close up.
Seriously.
Paul?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning.
So, This was wild. I didn't know it goes like this. We were sitting on the couch, looking out the picture window, watching the comfortable, you know, the storm. And suddenly the air became charged. We could hear it in our ears, a buzzing. And we looked at each other. And then this huge flash of a bolt hit right outside our window. And then it wasn't the sound you hear. It was an explosion. I mean, bang! I was getting ready to run down the hallway and leave her on her own. It all happened so fast. But, I mean, we could hear it before it hit.
I blame the dog.
Blame Clifford.
Yes.
That's wild. You heard crackling?
I'll tell you.
Yeah. People have said they can see, like, the hair standing on end. You know, and you've seen that, like, if you do, like, the static charge.
Right, the balloon or whatever.
Right, yeah. So that kind of will happen. Like, people are on hikes, and all of a sudden their hair is, like, floating.
Yes. If you feel that hit the ground, they say.
Really?
Remember that one of the things they taught in school? Like, if you feel the hair in the back of your neck or your arm starts rising, hit the deck. That means you're about to be hit by lightning.
Okay. Well, I just read something last night. It says don't get on the ground.
There's no safe place outside.
They were trying to kill us, weren't they? Yeah. Wait, but Dylan told me.
Yeah, get on the ground, spread eagle, and hold a golf club.
Remember they said go outside.
Oh, no!
Thank you, Paul.
I was afraid to look in the mirror after that. I thought my eyebrows
were going. My eyebrows go.
All right, I love you guys. Talk to you later.
All right, thank you. Right back at you, brother. Okay, Connecticut beat Long Island in the Little League playoffs, so Darianne is still alive.
Congratulations.
Long Island did not come on with us. Darianne did, so we are the rabbit's foot.
Right.
Congratulations. Mike, are you crying?
I'm crying a little bit.
Yeah, but good job.
Sorry, good job, Long Island.
Lakers.
We'll get them next time.
Bought... for $12 billion by Bob Iger and some other guy. What do you know about Iger?
I read his biography. It's fantastic. And he actually grew up on Long Island and has a long history in sports. One of his first jobs is working for Wide World of Sports with ABC under Rune Arledge, historic name in TV.
Oh, he smokes.
Wow.
Well.
He's filthy rich.
No kidding.
Yes. If you can buy a team, you're filthy rich.
Yeah, because he didn't win Powerball. If he won Powerball, he wouldn't be able to afford the team. Right. But because he was CEO of Disney, he can.
He did buy that team with somebody else, and that's like sick. That's stupid money.
It is.
It's got to be a group, right? Led by these two? Yeah.
It's usually that's how it goes.
There was a Powerball winner for the $1 billion jackpot. It was a single ticket. It was out of Illinois.
My turn to cry.
And if you do the one time... payout, you get $450 million.
Yeah,
and then after Fed and state taxes, you end up with $261 million.
Excuse me, rip off. Right,
that's a long way,
oh, man,
from a billion.
Ah, oh, you walk funny after that. I'm sorry, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money to take.
You did nothing.
Let's see. Let's talk to our attorney here. We're going to talk to him about e-bikes, but maybe he knows something about this. Attorney John DeGasperis, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm excited to talk to you about e-bikes and how parents are dopes if they buy them for their kids.
Right. not good stuff.
Not good stuff. Yeah. No, but do you know anything about this, like setting up a trust fund for like a Powerball ticket? If you won... can you set up a trust and continue to get payouts over the 29 years after you pass?
Here, one of my best talents as a lawyer is knowing what I don't know, and that is not my ballywick.
Gotcha.
I hire my own lawyers to write up trusts for me, so I'm not the guy to answer that question. But I wish I was the winner. I bought tickets for $800 million and $850 million, but I forgot to buy one for a billion.
Oh, I got to check my numbers till I bought 5 tickets yesterday.
Let's just say you hit last night. Would you be on the phone with us right now?
I probably would because like I'm obsessed with this stuff and I love it. But you know, you never know. I wish I had the opportunity to figure that out.
You know, it'd be the hardest thing faking it for like weeks before you announced it.
Oh gosh, I know.
Yeah,
walking around acting like you're not rich as F.
Right,
like everything is normal.
Yep.
And if you guys probably found me through social media. I can't keep my mouth shut, so it wouldn't have been a secret for long.
Right. The first indication he's laughing is buying gas.
Yeah, so this e-bike thing, last night AJ was coming back from a doctor's appointment and he saw a car versus e-bike. Not great.
Mm-hmm.
I almost got hit by an e-bike yesterday coming back from a company party.
Wow.
They're all over the place.
You can't hear them.
You can't hear them. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's just stupid.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've been practicing law for 16 years, and you see trends and things change, and you have to adapt, right? So, like, Uber and all these ride shares, we had to adapt, right? You see toxic, you know, substances out there, and you have to adapt. The e-bike situation is something that we have to adapt to. It's something we're seeing, in various age groups. They're on the roads, they're on the sidewalks, the government can't figure out how to regulate them, they are uninsured, and here's the other thing, they're actually really important for lower income people to be able to have an affordable means of transportation. So it's not all bad,
yeah. But
it is, as I describe, the Wild West. And the unfortunate thing is that most of the people riding e-bikes, they don't appreciate that they're really supposed to be following the rules of the road.
Yes, important.
So you see them, and they're not stopping for the stop signs, or they're going in the wrong direction on a street, right? And that's because people using them are not using them correctly. And so as a personal injury lawyer, one of the saddest things that I'm seeing is that, you know, I don't want to say always, but a lot of these cases, the e-bike operator is the person at fault, and they're the ones who are seriously injured.
Yeah.
Right? Car versus bike, the car always wins.
I'm betting on the car.
Yeah. I think parents don't realize that these e-bikes are heavier than a normal bicycle, first of all. So you got that going for you. So they're harder to stop when you have to in an emergency.
Well, there's no training for something that goes 40 miles an hour.
Right.
And we're not coming from the generation where we were all riding bikes and now we're going to go to something faster.
Yeah.
These kids are going from the couch to the bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, right? And I'll just caution you and your listeners. I do think that one of the big misunderstandings is that anything with two wheels and a battery is an e-bike. And that is not the case, right? An e-bike, according to like legal definition, right, the Department of Motor Vehicles, it falls into one, two, or three classifications. And essentially, an e-bike has to have a pedal.
Yeah.
Okay, so if it doesn't have pedals, it is actually something else. It may be an electronic, you know, scooter, or it's effectively a motorcycle.
Yeah.
But, you know, you say e-bike, and to me as a lawyer, right, I try to be exacting. That's a very limited classification of things. And the problem with the electronic two-wheeled machine is that it actually covers a wide variety of vehicles.
Okay, so let's come up with a name for them now. And then just from this point forward, the whole world will refer. Yeah, e-machines.
Right, I got one.
E-machine. E-machine.
Go with that.
All right, yeah, the e-machines.
E-machine.
So you're a personal injury attorney in New York. How many cases are you seeing? Are you seeing cases?
Yeah, it's interesting. We do see cases, but to be frank, we reject a lot of them. Because it's the e-bike operator's fault, right? I can't represent someone and win unless I can prove that the other party was negligent. But a lot of these crashes are single vehicle, so like it's the e-bike only, and it's just kids not knowing how to ride them. So they're driving them off the road, they're hitting objects, they are falling while they are in the middle of making a mistake, and then they dump the bike, and they're not wearing helmets.
Yeah.
Okay? So not only are parents crazy for giving their kids these machines, but then the parents aren't even requiring them to wear helmets.
Can the person the car, let's say, and this happened to me yesterday, I stopped at a stop sign, I started going, and one of these e-machines blew right through the stop sign, almost hit me. If he did hit me, would I be able to sue him?
Yes. Now, getting insurance to play in is another story. But, you know, to answer your question, technically correct, yes, you could sue. Now, will it be an insured accident? This is one of the major and unfortunate things that I'm seeing as a personal injury lawyer. These poor souls are coming to me seriously injured, and there's no, imagine if you're at fault, right? So the person calls me, can I sue? I look at the facts and I'm like, no, you're at fault. They don't even have some basic level of insurance to claim for like medical bills. So unless you have health insurance, you're really in a tough spot because these machines are not insured.
Could
They're
you
effectively unregulated?
Could you effectively sue a state for not having an age requirement for kids riding these bikes? Because you should be 16 or older.
You can't sue the
state. Because it is a vehicle.
But here's the government. Interesting thing.
Yeah.
You can sue the government for a lot of things, but not for like having
not having
regulation.
A law. Oh man.
Right. but think about this. I don't know if you guys follow this. I know your station goes to Long Island. You know, Mayor Mamdani and his administration are coming down on corporations who are distributing these e-machines throughout New York City because, you know, it's like, well, why should the user, like, we have to hold the user accountable, right? But like, let's get to the problem before the user can even buy it. And so what he's saying is Amazon, Target, Walmart, you are all selling these e-machines and giving them to people, and they don't fit New York City's regulatory, you know, framework. And then what he's also doing is he's going after Uber, Uber Eats, Lyft, and he's saying your platforms incentivize people to use these illegal e-machines because speed is the name of the game. And so what he's trying to do is cut it off at the head, right? And holding corporate America accountable by saying you can't incentivize the use of illegal machines and you can't sell illegal machines. If you're going to sell an e-machine, it's got to fit our regulatory framework. And I got to say, you know, say whatever you want about them. I actually believe that some of the public policy moves that administration is making relative to e-bikes and the safety of New Yorkers actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but that's like saying I'm gonna come after the people who use computers for what they're doing with computers. I mean, you can't.
No, but it's like go back to tobacco, right? Go to right. It's like okay, tobacco kills. So yeah. What we're gonna make them put a warning on it?
No, but it wasn't the tobacco plant. It was what they did to it and what they lied about.
Made it addictive. Yes.
Yeah, right. But the government intervened by putting some regulatory systems into place saying you can't sell it to people less than 18. You can't put them out, you know, invisibly in stores. You have to have a warning.
Right. But that would be the mayor's job to do that because he's the mayor. He would have to put the regulatory statutes in place.
Yeah.
Right, Instead of doing that, he's just suing companies.
Right.
But here's the interesting
Not a fan.
Thing.
No.
He's not. No, listen, that's why I'm saying, you know, say what you will about him. Right. It's just that as a lawyer, I'm following the whole thing. Right.
Right.
I don't just look for cases. I look to implement laws that help keep people safe. And that is one of the more progressive administrations in regulating a problematic area. And then to go to the other point, we can't ignore that these machines are important to low-income people who can finally get from A to B. Now, the problem is they can. Why is it affordable? Because it's not regulated. So they can buy it on Amazon for a couple hundred dollars. They don't need a license plate.
Don't need insurance.
They don't need insurance.
That's what they need. That's what they need.
The government, and I have to say, the administration of the state of New York, they're just totally ignoring this thing. Like, they have no meaningful grasp of it, and it makes helping people hard, right? Because the police don't know what to do. They pull you over and it's like, well, what is this? Is it an e-bike? Is it an e-scooter?
Well, the other thing is, and I know you're going through this in New York and we are in Connecticut, the government here has just said if you're a juvenile, you can basically do whatever you want. If you steal a car, we put you back on the street.
Carte blanche.
We take your record, we expunge it in 30 days.
Yes.
There's no, and that's all the way, that's, you know, 14, 15, 16, that's, you're making decisions right or wrong. You know what's right, you know what's wrong, and we're just letting them off the hook. And now, like, what's a cop going to do with these e-machines? Like, pull them over?
They don't know what to do.
You can't do anything. You can't even pull them over when they're in a stolen car.
Yeah.
That's right. And the sad thing is that I think the statistics demonstrate that the people who are suffering the most catastrophic injuries, and this is consistent with what I'm seeing in my personal injury practice, it's children. It is predominantly children getting hurt on e-bikes. And the injuries involve, we're talking head injuries, we're talking serious fractures, okay, involving surgical intervention. These are just things that, like, no one wants, period, ever, for anyone.
Okay,
definitely don't want.
Hold on, just came to me.
Okay,
John, your suit, your play on this is going to be a class action lawsuit against the makers of the e-machines that they're putting these kids out there without the proper warnings, without the proper training.
You just gave me the idea. I'm going into the office today and thinking about
this. This happened with the three-wheel ATVs.
Yes. Yeah.
They would flip. They were killing kids.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you'd corner it with it, and it was a defective product.
Right, the center of gravity is like off.
Yes, right. Oh, this is I'm glad we did this call. That's a good one.
Like there we that. Go. All right, my work is done here.
Yay!
Thank you.
Hey, we're gonna have you back. You're great.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate the opportunity. This
Thank
is fun.
You. Attorney John DeScasperis, and we're linked up at the radio station website. What, did I get close there with his name?
Yeah, I think the first one was a little closer than that one.
DeGasperis.
First one was better.
Yeah, but you gave him an idea. So
DeGasperis.
Right. Yeah, but you gave him an idea, so you're good.
Yeah. That's right. I get a pass on this one.
Right.
Let's shift gears here and talk about something very, very important that's going to happen today. We have Travis Mills, our old buddy, on the phone. He's retired U.S. Army Staff Sergeant, quadruple amputee, motivational speaker, author, father, and awesome badass.
Yes.
Good morning, and thank you for your service.
Good morning, you champions. How's everything going?
Excellent.
That's a crazy storm we're about. Wow.
Yeah. Right? Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on today. We're stuck in some traffic, almost to the golf course, but I'm telling you what.
Welcome to Connecticut.
Wait, there's traffic here? When did that start happening?
Yeah.
I know. I was surprised myself.
It's new.
Shocked even. But we had the golf tournament today for Scoops for Troops. It's awesome. Michael and the family are just doing amazing work. And, you know, I get the chance to come down, hang out, smile, shake hands, and say hi to everybody.
That's great. So is there room for more if someone wants to just grab a bag and go?
I'm like, I woke up this morning. I'm pretty hands off.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
With the event. But, you know, I don't think you guys remember having no arms and legs. So hands off with my arms on the charger.
I know. I did want to make a joke, but people don't know your sense of humor, so I don't want to.
Exactly, right.
Gotcha. It's funnier when I'm in person. I get what you're saying.
Right.
I don't know there's any slots open. I guess I should have asked that before I jumped on this phone call. I was just so excited to talk to you guys. I didn't even call Michael and ask him.
Well, it's to benefit Tunnel to Towers.
Yep, absolutely. Tunnel Towers is the Stephen Stiller Foundation out of New York. They do some really amazing work. I've been a recipient of one of the houses that they build for service members with physical disabilities. And I can't say enough great things about Frank Stiller and his team out there in New York and the amazing work that they do.
So we had you on a while back and you were talking about it. And then I went to the site and I read what they did. And then I signed up and every month I contribute a little bit. And it's such a great thing to do.
Yeah.
You see the work that they do.
Uh-huh.
They help people like Travis, American heroes. It's great. And you never have to think about it. It just comes out.
It's a win-win.
It's like less than a gym membership.
Yeah.
You know, and you're actually helping people.
Exactly.
And they're one of those organizations that really, it's not a lot of like, hey, we're paying executives and then a little bit goes.
No.
This is like almost all of it goes.
Exactly right.
It's good fun.
Good way to spend the money.
We don't need to go in golf today. We can help this Tunnel to Towers. We're just going online, look them up and really look them up.
Yeah.
And make a donation or do it like every month like I do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and they help with now first responders as well. You know, they go through something tragic. They just gave I just saw the commercial. They gave a house to a police officer in Chicago that got shot off duty trying to break up a fight and was paralyzed from the waist down. I mean, they do a lot for veterans and first responders and widows of first responders and veterans. I mean, you can't, you know, as over the years as they've they've grown, they've found what needs they can fill. And as they've done that, they've been able to really expand their offering. So again, it's great that Scoop for Troops is partnering up with Tunnel of the Towers and doing all this amazing work. And I just get to be a part of it by hanging out, smiling, and shaking hands today.
So
I'm
cool.
Take some pictures too. You never know.
Right.
Well, you earned it. I mean, you earned the right to just go and hang and have a good time.
Exactly right.
I'll be honest, I just kind of wanted early retirement, so I just went and found it. I walked right into it. You know, I didn't walk out, but I did walk
into it. Right, right. Whatever method you want to use, yes.
So, would you mind? I know you get asked to tell this story all the time, but, you know, for anyone who's listening and they're not familiar with it, can you bring us through? Because I don't think many people survive being a quadriplegic. I mean, it's very rare to survive that kind of a horrific happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on April 10th of 2012, I happened to be walking along on a patrol with the 82nd Airborne Division, my third trip over there. And I set my backpack down on the ground, and it was on a bomb that we had missed with the minesweeper. So the bomb went off and it took both arms and both legs off. And I became one of five surviving quadruple amputees. So as terrible as that sounds, I mean, I recovered 19 months at Walter Reed, found my new purpose and direction with wanting to give back and starting my own nonprofit, the Travis Mills Foundation. We're bringing out, you know, veterans like from Tunnel of Towers where they build the houses for, bring them out and show them an all-inclusive retreat week and that life's possible after injuries. And I was inspired actually by Frank Siller and a few other nonprofits that really helped me. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's terrible. I have no arms and legs. My wife stayed with me when I told her she should leave. We've been married over 18 years now. I have a wonderful daughter who was 6 months old, who's my best friend.
Oh,
and
man.
My son is 9 years old on Monday. And the only thing wrong with that kid is he's a mama's boy, but it runs in the family, so I understand it.
Okay. You can deal with it. You can work on that, yes.
I mean, when you put your pack down, do you remember anything after that? Or did you just wake up in the hospital?
Absolutely. No. Actually, I was awake the whole time. They had to medically sedate me on the operating table.
Oh.
And I kept trying to, like, sit up, and I only had my left hand still. My right arm was completely gone. My right leg was gone. My left leg was broken through the muscle and tendon. And they put me on a helicopter ride. They went from there to the hospital, rolled me down the hallway to the operating room, and they finally medically sedated me with my sternum IV they put in me. Because I was like, hey, you guys got the wrong guy. This is all a mistake.
Wow. I'm fine.
Yeah, you're in shock. Yeah.
So do you remember, like, did everything go into slow motion? Do you remember, like, flying through the air?
I recall it all. Like, I mean, I was, the crazy thing is, so I'm a keynote speaker now for my actual, profession. So I go travel around the nation, sometimes internationally to, give my presentation about resilience and all that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's funny because I relive the story every time, but I think it's helpful to do that and tell people that no matter what they face in life, they can always overcome it and they can achieve anything that they put their mind to, whether they have arms and legs or not. And like I said, the traffic's kind of crazy today, but believe it or not, I'm actually the one driving. So,
it's so inspiring.
Awesome. Yeah.
Like, we think we have problems.
Right.
And then we hear from you, we're like, no, this guy was like on death's doorstep and came back. Kept his marriage together thanks to his beautiful wife.
It's how you handle
worked it. Worked his way. But it's not the problem. That's the problem. It's how you handle the problem.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys get bored, I mean, all your listeners, you want to check out TravisMillsFoundation.org or TravisMills.org. That's my website, and people can get a visual.
Yeah.
But, I show a lot of leg because I wear shorts everywhere.
There you go. See?
I don't want to get the wrong impression because I'm married. But at the end of the day, I'm fortunate to still be here. I realize that as angry as I could be about the situation, I'm one of the guys that made it through that I get to do this. I get to live life the full
time
with my family. And I might as well make the most out of every day because a lot of my friends didn't make it back home.
Right.
And that's what we're doing today is we're raising funds for great nonprofits that do awesome work in the veteran and first responder space and give them the chance to get back to the new normal, after something tragic happened.
Tunnel to Towers, an organization that came out of 9/11, which we're approaching the 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
But now they do so much more. They've expanded. It's a really well-run operation. They help first responders and veterans, and it's a tremendous, tremendous thing. I have one more question about the day in April. I'm guessing everyone who approached you after that had a hard time like keeping their face like a poker face, right? Like, did you know things are bad when, by the way, people were coming up and like when they looked at you and they looked at you in the eye?
Oh, you mean when I got blown up? I could see it. I mean, I was laying there looking at like, or you mean when like when the medics came up? Yeah, I knew what was going on.
Yeah,
I mean, I was fully aware. Arm and right leg were gone and all that. Like I knew. Yeah.
Right.
So. But
yeah, they didn't need to. But, yeah.
No, the quick action. You know, they went ahead and put tourniquets on as fast as they could on both sides. You know, my body, and threw a sternum IV in me, and you know, got me moving. So onto the helicopter I went with two other guys. Got blown up and into 14-hour surgery, and then the doctors and nurses, as they worked on me, there was blood in the blood bank that ran out for A-positive universal blood. So the doctors and nurses that were compatible were giving me blood from their veins as they worked on me.
Jeez.
So, I mean, there was a lot that went into that day. So, you know, there's a lot of people that were like, man, if I was you, I'd be so angry or blah, blah, blah. I don't know how you do it. But I guess until you got to face something like that, you don't know how strong you really can be.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, I had some of the greatest people that came to support me and help me with my rebuild of my life. And now I'm here, thankful and grateful to have the opportunity to talk with you today, as well as be at this golf tournament. And, you know, my father-in-law is my right-hand man. He didn't like me until after I got blown up. But right. Now he's my vice president.
So you take something, yeah.
And we're hanging out today doing some golfing and some, I think we're going to probably have a hot dog eating contest.
Nice.
You never know what the day is going to have.
Excellent.
It's going to be exciting.
Hot dog eating contest sounds like heaven.
Awesome.
Well, I'm glad you're living the dream, having some good family time while helping others.
That's beautiful.
Travis, it's always great to have you on the show. Thank you so much. We're going to link up to the Travis Mills Foundation and Tunnels to Tower. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Well, hey, hope you guys have a great day. Thanks for your time, and I appreciate you taking letting me be on the air with you.
No, thank you for your time, yes, and you're welcome here anytime you want.
Exactly.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.